Hello, welcome to Let's Meet the Virologists, a podcast about the people behind today's virology headlines. With the annual American Society for Virology meeting coming up in 2 weeks, we are talking with graduate students and postdoctoral researchers who will be attending the meeting.
Thanks for talking with us today. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm Jayanthasli Morushi. I'm second year PhD student at Catholic University of America in the Department of Biology. My PhD concentration is microbial and cellular biology, and currently I'm working on portal protein of T4 bacteriophage at Dr. Venegala Rao's lab.
Okay, great. And can you tell us a little bit about how you first became interested in science and then virology?
Okay. I took virology course in my third year of undergrad, and I enjoyed the concept of viral evolution, pathogenesis, the antigenic drift, antigenic shift of flu virus, and virus variant. One feature of Zika virus strike me most, a single point mutation causes Asian strain a serious birth defect called microcephaly, where African strain doesn't cause microcephaly. So the little molecular change has a huge effect on pathology that made me interested to know the unseen entity of the earth. Later on, during 2017, in my country, there was a huge outbreak of chikungunya virus. Almost general people doesn't know about this virus. And I did a voluntary research to collect some public health data from hospital to hospital and door-to-door survey. When I see the anxiety of the general people towards this unknown virus, that actually really motivates me to work on vaccine for tropical neglected disease. Even before coming to US in 2019, my country also faced huge dengue virus outbreak. That is the largest in history of Bangladesh. More than 50,000 people died, infected, and a significant number of people died. And that's really motivated me to work on virus and vaccine. And you asked me another question, how I get interested in science. And in 2014, at first, I admitted engineering university. My major was electrical communication engineering. But after admission, I thought, I don't like that subject. So then I was asking what was my passion. And I discovered I love molecular biology. I love the way scientists engineer organism by changing the nucleotide. And that time the concept of genetically modified crop and production of insulin using recombinant DNA technology made me interested to choose my major, genetic engineering and biotechnology. And in my undergrad, that time to change the major is not easy journey for me because my parent doesn't like I choose my major. I changed my major. That's why my parents doesn't support me mentally and financially. And with the help of my younger sister, I stole money from my house to get admission to my passionate major.
And can you describe a little bit about sort of your country and the family that you grew up in? Did you have any science in your family or any higher education? What was it like?
Okay. My father has a bachelor in agriculture, but in my country, people has fascination to be physician or engineer major, like computer science, electrical engineering. The life science is less popular in my country because, you know, it requires a lot of money for research. And my country is don't have sufficient fund for doing this cutting edge research. So people, even when I admitted in genetic engineering, most of the people never heard about what is genetic engineering means, what is gene means. So the general people don't know about this subject. And though my father major was agriculture, but he always wants me, okay, you will be engineer. So because the field of engineering and our country as it's less developed, so we normally think about which subject gives better career in terms of staying at home in Bangladesh. And for a science and to be a scientist, that is a less preferred job in my country.
Can you tell us a little bit about, so how did you end up in your graduate degree? What were the steps that you took to sort of find the institution and your lab and things like that?
I mentioned it was my dream subject. So at the very beginning of my undergrad, I planned for higher study. So what a requirement I need, some research experience, and my lab and my university in Bangladesh doesn't have so much cutting edge research facility there. So I always try to get involved some research project that doesn't require any cost, like bioinformatics or public health data analysis. So I gathered a lot of experience from my second year, third year, fourth year, just doing public health. And I did mostly voluntary research. And I was preparing myself for USA for my PhD. So after completing my bachelor, I directly applied for PhD. Actually, I had less time to prepare for GRE. I had a bad score on it. But however, based on my research experience and my passion, I got admitted for PhD at Catholic.
At your institution, how did you end up choosing your lab, the one that you're in now? What were you looking for? Or do you do rotations there? How do you choose your lab?
So here, there was a rotation system. The rotation is normally 1 week, one professor, we know about his work, he give presentation. It's not like typical other normal rotation, like 3 month or 4 month working in a lab. It's just one semester, maybe it's 6 or 7 faculty now working. So we have 1 week, each week we meet one professor, all the graduate student, and we ask their what kind of research they are doing. They give short presentation and we contact with other graduate student. So then which professor we like at the end of the semester, we email them and then we contact and then we fix our lab.
Okay, great. And can you tell us a little bit about your lab? So what's kind of a typical day in your lab these days?
So currently my lab is working on a COVID vaccine. So we are our lab is incorporating COVID vaccine candidate on T4 bacteriophages. So this work will probably go phase one clinical trials soon. And mainly our lab use CRISPR techniques to replace some non-essential portion of bacteriophages with the vaccine candidate. And now I'm working on the portal protein of T4 bacteriophages. And for my PhD, I'm planning to work on dengue vaccine, use the similar T4 based model.
Great. So can you tell us a little bit about that? I'm not as familiar using phage as a way to sort of like as a template, as it were, for vaccines. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so bacteriophages has some non-essential portion that is displayed outside. It's called HOC and SOC. And in its genome, there are some particular reason that is not essential. So our lab actually delete that portion using CRISPR. So we use CPF1, Cas12, and Cas9 to engineer first to replace to delete the particular region first. So then we use the vaccine candidate as a donor plasmid. So then it incorporates on bacteriophages. And sometimes we use different promoter mammalian to check the protein level.
Just more generally, this has obviously been a difficult year for everyone. What has it been like sort of living through the pandemic here in the United States, but then also thinking about its effect on your family, people that you know back in Bangladesh? What's that been like?
Yeah, so last year when COVID first came, made me emotionally vulnerable because I was thinking if something happens to my family, I cannot see them, or if anything happens to me, so that was a challenging condition. But right now in here, the condition is good, so we can go lab. First time I missed totally. I could not go lab for 4 months. Like last summer, I was at home. But now here, the condition has changed. But in my country, the condition is the most severe. So now the current condition, both dengue also started. I heard some in hospital patients are admitted for dengue and COVID also. So there's some kind of mistreatment. People are thinking a dengue patient as a COVID. So there are some kind of mistreatment because they're feeling fever when they're saying, oh, the symptoms is fever due to some mistreatment. So my country's now current condition is very bad because our country's people are reluctant last few months to wearing mask and other safety precaution.
Yeah, and I assume, I don't think Bangladesh doesn't have a lot of access to vaccines yet. Is that correct?
Bangladesh got some vaccine, but not completely like US. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Yeah, so that must be very difficult. So how has it been as a virologist and a scientist during this pandemic? So what's that been like for you?
Okay, so as a graduate student last year, I didn't get chance to get back lab initially, but the postdoctoral fellow, they are working continuously on the vaccine as I don't have my personal car because that's the person who are allowed in the lab who can maintain the safety because I need to use public transport. So that would be a risk for them. So I was just learning from home, doing rewriting review, learning structural bioinformatics tool, and day by day I enjoyed staying in front of computer. I tried to utilize the online platform wisely. And first semester of my PhD, I took hair immunology course, and I loved that course. I was thinking, okay, I can make a course available for my country people. So I took a online immunology course to my country people. So there are a lot of university undergrad students, they joined, enrolled in my course. So that actually helps me to teach to work for my country, staying far from my country. And in last fall and spring in Catholic University, I worked graduate student senator, and in that time I hosted virtual graduate seminar series. So we invited guest speaker all over the country, from East Coast to West Coast, even from Singapore. That would not be possible in the normal time. And I love to attend the virtual conference as much as possible. I know when the pandemic will over completely, going conference in person will be so expensive. So initially, the condition was bad for me, but later it turned out positively. I started my YouTube channel. I made video on Zika virus and other useful topics. Like my professor, Dr. Venigala Rao, I believe nothing is absolute bad in the universe. Though the pandemic took a lot of lives from the earth, in terms of learning, it creates a great avenue. People are comfortable with online world. They can connect easily. They can learn easily.
Right. And yeah. So you're just sort of starting your graduate career, but do you have any thoughts about what you would like to do in the future? Are you interested in sort of the academic track? Are you interested in industry and public health? What do you want to do, or what do you see yourself doing?
So I see myself to be an academician. After that, I will pursue postdoctoral fellow and search for assistant professor job, but I has also passion in industry also, but my main focus would be academia, and so it would be my part-time job. Like if I can collaborate something, or if I can make some vaccine, okay, I can contact with some industry for the clinical trial and other thing. But I to get the pleasure from the science, like to know the unknown thing that makes me interested.
And then I guess just finishing up, other than science, do you have any hobbies that you've been doing in the past year or so? It's obviously been harder because we've been more restricted, but what do you do in your free time, I guess?
Oh, I love writing. So anything related to my life, what I'm going on myself, my spiritual, and I love a writing thing. And now YouTubing becomes my hobby. Virus or any science that makes me interested. So in my undergrad, I did some work like consanguinous marriage, like cousin marriage genetic impact. So I wanted to know other people. Okay, what's going on in science. So you can say I want to tell general people about the science. That's my hobby now.
Oh, great. Yeah, it's kind of my hobby too, which is why I started this podcast.
Yeah. So this summer, I'm hosting another summer seminar series weekly. I invite a guest speaker from US and Bangladesh. So maybe professor, some student. So they will tell their science in Bangla, our mother tongue. So that is also my hobby, like to spread the science in my own language so people of my country can easily understand it.
Well, thank you very much for talking with us today. And we look forward to you attending the meeting and then hopefully hearing from you in subsequent years about your work on fate.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
This has been Let's Meet the Virologists, a podcast about people who study viruses. This is your host, Larissa Thackray, and thanks for listening.